This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
It's Wednesday, the 19th of February. The DJV way for you to start the day. I suppose we could say Young Grasshopper. Isn't that? How many people remember that television show among our group here? Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Kara Schillen, Doug Steffen. I remember Grasshopper. Do you remember Grasshopper?
No.
Anybody remember Grasshopper? Nobody remembers Grasshopper. Oh, my God. Kung Fu is the name of the show. David Carradine was Grasshopper, and then we go on from there. One decision at a time, boys and girls.
Say goodbye to any listeners under the age of 40.
Why? Why wouldn't they be interested
in
culture?
I think it's older than that.
50.
No, I think that's offensive. To say that what I think hold dear is not important to anybody else, I think that's arrogant. And
I said
it's
listeners
so, it's so
under
near
40.
And dear that we've never heard you mention it before.
Well, you've heard me talk about David Carradine.
No.
Before. And Keith Carradine's brother, you haven't? Keith Carradine, you've heard me talk about
him?
I
don't know who David is. How do I know who his brother Keith is?
Keith? He was the president in Designated Survivor. No, he wasn't. He was the president in Madam Secretary. He was the president.
Okay.
All right. So that's irrelevant.
Did you know that Kiefer Sutherland was the president and Designated Survivor?
Right, okay. You know that much. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so here we are after we get rid of that important stuff, talking about what also is important to a lot of people, and this may have a different, there's a different significance here to the coronavirus discussion. Jennifer's got some info. I have some, so let's put it all together. What do we have for our current info?
Well, just a story that was trending yesterday. Senator Tom Cotton, who's a Republican from Arkansas, made some comments that he believed or had information that the coronavirus may have actually originated in a high-security biochemical lab in Wuhan, China. And he got into a lot of trouble for saying that it was possible that the United States needed to investigate all options because he had heard these things coming from credible sources. And so he got a little bit of slapback. And so he went on from people on social media, from some of his colleagues. And so he
Anybody
went on
that
to
knows anything slap back at him?
Or I don't know.
The usual social media BS.
The usual jibber jabber, obviously, yeah. the sound that when he talked about this, that he shouldn't be doing that. So he went on with Martha McCallum on Fox News, and he said we need to be open to more possibilities. He doubled down and said that he believed that it did happen in a biochemical lab, and this is something that's made a lot of people sick. And so when Martha McCallum pressed him on this claim, he said that it came from a respected international science journal called The Lancet and some Chinese scientists.
Yep.
And he said that's where...
Big journal in England.
What he said is what they need to be open to. And that he said we need to demand, this was his quote, we need to demand that China open up and be transparent so a team of international experts can figure out exactly where the virus originated. So he's one of the only people in this country, at least at his level, that are actually talking about the kind of the origination of this virus. I think it's important. Now, obviously, the big focus should be on what we're doing to prepare in this country, et cetera. But I think it's important that someone in the government actually says, wait a second, is China lying to us? Where did this come from? How did this spread so quickly? And so I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting that instead of backing down, he doubled down and said, hey, I read this medical journal, and this is what they say, and we should look into it. So.
Well, why isn't he the only one? Where are the people in the CDC and the Department of Health and all the other people in our government that ought to be looking into that and ought to be looking into?
They're more focused on the response rather than the origin, or at least publicly that's what they're more focused on.
Well, you know, we're back to China bashing, and maybe that's appropriate. It doesn't fix the problem, but I think it does serve some, we were sort of joking about in retrospective, this doesn't go back 50 years, although it may, because there are other people who are just as credible, General, who say that the Chinese for years and years and years and years have been trying to develop biotechnical war germs, bugs, whatever it is. And they have a special place in Wuhan for that. And this is where this stuff came from. And so now maybe karma, turnabout is fair play. The people who are going to be most harmed by this are the people in China. And there are a lot of people in China who now are getting this. And there is a tremendous upheaval. I don't say this because it's good or bad for us, good or bad for them, but the price the Chinese government may have to pay for what you just said is going to be very severe, and it ought to be.
And he talked about it. He said, you know, we don't know for sure that this was a bioweapon, but we know that they were investigating bioweapons and researching coronavirus in that laboratory in Wuhan. I mean, it's a fact. They were investigating it there, and it could have been an accidental breach or it could have been an intentional breach. It's just, he's saying we need to look into all of that, and I agree with him.
Well, whether if it's intentional, it takes on a whole different rap, it seems to me. But the alarms that are being sounded on this coronavirus now, you know, I've said many times the reality is that it is not at the moment anywhere near as important as the flu in terms of what happens at the end of the day, i.e. in America, we've lost almost 12,000 people so far this year to the regular flu. Well, that's important, and I'm not discounting that. I think that number stays and sticks at the current time. But the potential to infect 70% of the world, according to yesterday's Wall Street Journal, the director of the Harvard Public Health Department says upon looking at this, quote, it is likely we may see a global pandemic. He didn't say we would. He says it's likely. And the guy who is the professor is named Mark Lipschitz. He runs the Chan School of Public Health at Harvard. An interesting name, and
that's Zuckerberg's wife's thing, right? That's he and his wife. It's named after his wife. Yeah.
Yep. If a pandemic happens, up to 70% of people worldwide will be infected in the coming year. What proportion of those will be symptomatic? Too early to tell. The estimates are being derived from calculations on the virus's basic reproduction number. They've gotten that from getting a hold of some of the bacteria from people who are not in China, people who have come out. There's, 500 people on that cruise ship off of Japan now, 88 people, the ship, by the way, is called the Diamond Princess, testing positive for the coronavirus. And the people that are on there from England have been evacuated, but then, okay, so what are you going to do with them after you evacuate them? Put them on an airplane and have the stuff cook up even more. The outbreak of SARS, going back to that, which people, I don't know if you remember if it's important to remember, severe acute respiratory syndrome, that's a model for the estimates at the moment. The name for the coronavirus is, and I love these news people, the official name is COVID-19. Official according to whom? Somebody made that up, and I don't know if they grabbed it.
The people in the Chinese weapon lab, I think. Sounds like a weapon, doesn't it?
It does, yep. So anyway, the concern here, the Imperial College in London has a health department like Harvard does. And the director said, quote, the main reason our estimate is as it is, the number of people who are currently infected is higher than the maximum that had the virus with SARS. So the numbers are higher now. And now complicating containment of this virus is the speed and ease of world travel, which will allow this thing to spread if any more people get out of China. So far, 67,000, 69,000, somewhere in there, have effectively gotten this around the globe. Most of them are in China. 1,526 people as of yesterday. I don't know if there's a new number floating around. I'm sure there is somewhere today.
There's 75,000 people that have been infected by it. 2,000 people are dead.
So it's up. Yeah. Okay. So it's up. Look at the numbers up.
It goes up
one
every day. Remember a couple weeks ago, we were at 1,100. Now it's 75,000 people. I mean, it's going up at least a couple thousand a day.
So let's do the math. All right. Let's just take, if it's 70%, maybe even if it's 40 or 50% of people worldwide likely to be infected, that is at the current population of about 7 billion. That's about 5 billion people, 4.9 in that vicinity somewhere. Okay. So let's say it's 5 billion people. And the current fatality rate, by the way, for the coronavirus is 2.3%. As if you take these stats that I had from yesterday, I did the math, it's 2.3% of those who have gotten it or had it as of yesterday, and those who have died, 2.3% of the people who got it died. And by the way, that's as opposed to 0.1% of people who have the flu in America dying from it. So you see the difference in that. So multiply 2.3 times 5 billion, and even if you have a conservative estimate here, that's 100 million people. 130, 120, 130 million people could die of this by the time they get it under control. And that's in a short period of time, less than a year. So, this is maybe more of a, not maybe, unless they really get a handle on this. And most of them, at least at the moment, if things are contained as they seem to have been, the world is taking pretty strong precautions to isolate anybody who's got them outside of China. But this could work to point, you know, and back to the Chinese government, did they really figure out that they've got too many people and they want to wipe out 100 million of them? Because they have a billion, what do they have, a billion three population in China, something like that? So you wipe out 10% of the population with this. Those, you don't think those people are capable of thinking that way? I think they're every bit capable of thinking that way. And so they wipe out a couple of million or however many, 10, 12 million people around the globe, so what? We have 100 million less people to feed and worry about and take care of in China. I think they are that. They are that cunning. They are that I just think I think this is a very possible. All this stuff, in my mind, makes good sense. Ladies, thoughts?
Numbers? I think it's possible. I think it's disturbing watching as we've been following this, and we've been talking about it almost every single day. Watching the numbers go up at least a couple thousand people every single day, that's disturbing. And then I think that Tom Cotton's right. I think that we need to be looking at all sources. I mean, I early on speculated, hey, it may be a conspiracy theory, but is it possible that this is something that got out of hand? And all evidence is pointing to the fact that, yeah, that's it. I mean, I think the reason that people weren't prepared for this story is because China tried to cover it up for a long time, and now all of a sudden it's blowing up. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm suspicious of the two main doctors who are dead now who discovered it. So, you know, that I don't know. The one guy was giving phone interviews with CNN from his hospital
one
bed.
Day,
and he's a young, healthy-looking guy, and then the next day he's dead. I don't know. It's just
All right.
Very suspicious.
Who still makes for food for thought. DJV time is coming up on 19 after the hour. Why are you waiting? If you have a tough time, you don't get a good night's rest, and you figure out what the problem is. Jennifer's got her pillow. Victoria's got her pillow. I got my pillow. I don't know if Kara got any of those pillows or not. Kara, did you get any my pillows? I've forgotten what
I do have a my pillow. I have it on my bed right now. I didn't want to get up this morning.
No. Lack of sleep is linked to mental health problems. A late survey here that was done of college students, mood changes, depression, mental health, all of these things, and I'm not trying to over-dramatize this. I think you all know what the problems are if you don't get enough rest. So if you don't have one of the MyPillows or two or three or four of them on your bed, and everybody in your home doesn't have them on their bed, then you got to get on the line or go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the discount code DJV. Save up to 66%. Usually it's around 50, 55% for the pillows. It'll change your sleep, your rest pattern. It's really all good. All right, go to MyPillow.com, DJV code, save a lot of money, and get the rest you deserve.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Program, Jen Jen, Victoria, and Kara and I and you, with the focus on the 2020 Tailgate Fest right now. Dierks Bentley and Leonard Skinner apparently are going to headline that festival here in Southern California this August. It's at a new place, though. It's going to be at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. So, Jennifer, I'm trying to place that. Is that Inland Empire? Where is Fontana? Inland Empire or further inland? That's up north. I don't know. Where it is.
It's the Inland Empire, but it's actually at the 15 and like the 210, basically.
Okay, out so where you are, a little further.
Way out, yeah.
Victoria loves that when we talk about
it's
the 15.
It's so funny. Because all my friends in California talk exactly like that. It's just really funny.
Yeah, right. Anyway, this is the middle of August when this event will take place. Additional folks being there, set to perform, is a two-day festival. Billy Currington will be there. Justin Moore, Carly Pierce, Thousand Horses, Logan Mize, Ross Ellis in the TLC group. Tailgate Fest allows fans to enjoy live music from their truck, from the side stage.
It's fun. They used to do it in the parking lot of the Forum, which I always thought was kind of weird. It just didn't feel like the place to do a tailgate.
The Forum?
So this, I think, is better, yeah.
Well, since the Forum isn't there anymore, I guess
Well, it is.
It's taken a whole different look with a football stadium there, right?
I mean, the Forum's still there. It's a great music venue still, and that'll be next door to the football stadium.
Okay. Well, that's a parking anyway.
Yeah.
One of the best parts of tailgate, and also most unique, is that it compels people to engage in a visceral social interaction, which has become harder and harder to find. The words of the creator of the festival, Melissa Carboni. She said, even our artists walk around, grab beers, pop in, see the action, which is pretty unheard of at most festivals, becoming such a community of camaraderie. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Community of camaraderie. That's something we ought to remember and hold on to, because we need a little bit more of that. Community of camaraderie, based around the love of certain music and campfire, camping, summer, love, fun, tailgating, all that good stuff. So if you're interested in getting passes to Tailgate Fest, they're available right now at latailgatefest.com. That's latailgatefest.com. General admission, two-day passes, about $100. VIP passes are $329. What is it? So are you going to have a beer with one of these stars? Is that what the VIP? Have a beer with one of our stars.
Fun. Usually that gets you like a better view or a better parking better spot if you drive in with your own truck.
Right.
I feel like that's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I was thinking
for all of those
shows
and access to, I mean, I pay more than $100 for just a normal show now.
Right.
Is there any way that the those bums in the ticket agencies can up that and screw around?
Well, they're not the ones who do it. It's people who buy the tickets and resell them, and that's where you get stuck.
Well, that's StubHub.
The fees are terrible anyway, but yeah.
Right.
Well, Ticketmaster has their own resale, which I think is a total conflict, but they do it.
It is. Yep. Okay, next up, focus on Debbie Harry, Charlie Wilson, and Sheryl Crow, among the performers who are going to come to the stage here at the Hollywood Bowl, the Jazz Plus concert series this year, which is curated by Herbie Hancock, who's also the L.A. Philharmonic's creative chair for jazz. Series begins July 29th, runs through September 23rd. Herbie Hancock also serves as one of the headliners. So here's the schedule if you're interested coming out here to the Hollywood Bowl, which is a great venue. Chuck Corea and the Spanish Heart Band with Ruben Blades is the 29th of July. August 5th, Miss Peggy Lee at 100. Really? That's well, Debbie Harry's going to sing the songs. Right?
I think that's going to be great. Debbie Harry doing Peggy Lee, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
And Chuck Corea must be 100 years old, right?
Yeah, right.
He's got to be.
Pretty doggone close to it, yep. Charlie Wilson will be on the stage the 12th of August. John Fogerty, Robert Randolph, and the Family Band. It's Fogerty's 50-year trip show. Includes CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival's 1969 Woodstock set list, as well as a lot of other fan favorites. That's August 19th. That'd be a good show. I'd like to see that. Then Dave Brubeck and Charlie Parker, great jazz musicians, Centennial Celebrations, the Brubeck tribute will feature the Brubeck Brothers Quartet, August 26th. Sheryl Crow and Lake Streak Dive on the 16th of September, and then Herbie Hancock and Jamie Cullum on the 23rd of September. 28 after the hour.
Money is the monkey giving you a backache. Money is the grease in the palm of the handshake. Money covers up all the evidence. Not taking all the money would have made the best sense.
I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me.
How to meditate in 60 seconds. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Meditation is like exercise for your brain. It's extremely healthy for you. I only have 60 seconds to tell you how to do it right now, and I've already used some of those seconds up. So here are five quick tips. 1. Find a quiet place if you can. 2. Sit upright, because meditation is different than lounging. 3. Close your eyes so you minimize distractions. 4. Sit still, because it's said that a quiet body can produce a quiet mind. 5. Focus on taking slow, controlled breaths. Do not get upset with yourself if you have thoughts. Instead, just observe those thoughts with compassion. The real goal of meditation is to be present, so do your best to be present. Oh, and start with doing this for 2 minutes a day. When you feel comfortable with that, meditate longer. For more in-depth information on meditation, visit drchristianconti.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Latecomer to the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, Michael Bloomberg, has qualified to be on the debate stage tonight with the other candidates in Nevada. Although he's being accused by President Trump in a tweet of illegally buying the Democratic nomination, and fellow Democrats are making similar accusations.
Bloomberg has spent $450 million of his own money on ads, and it's paying off. In the Super Tuesday state of Virginia, he's now tied for the lead with Bernie Sanders.
Anybody here worth $60 billion, you can run for president, and you can buy the airwaves. My friends, that is called oligarchy, not democracy.
Sanders, who's leading in Nevada, has recently been engaging in a full battle with Bloomberg.
That's USA Radio's Wendy King, and this is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
To go another half hour of conversation here on the DJV program. You're in proximity to Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Kara Schillen, Doug Steffen, and you all together celebrating this Wednesday. We're, what, two-thirds of the way through the month, it would seem. Committed to your success and entertainment, information, all that good stuff. Tonight is the debate where Michael Bloomberg begins to strut his stuff. So what's the lineup look like, Victoria?
Yeah, well, tonight on NBC, 8 p.m., the Democratic debate will be held in Vegas. And this is just ahead of Saturday's Nevada caucuses. This is the big story tonight is it's the usual cast of characters, except, like you said, Michael Bloomberg joins the stage. And I think that, I'm guessing that within Democrat viewers that this will, there might be a spike in viewership just out of maybe curiosity, just to see. I think Sanders is prepared. He's locked and loaded to go after, Bloomberg. I think that you'll see Elizabeth Warren really chiming in, trying to kind of, you know, push her way through with her anti-billionaire. Attacks. She's already really come out against Bloomberg.
You know what the risk is of that, though, Victoria? The risk is, looking back, it's different than looking at Trump's history. Bloomberg started with zero, nothing. He created something out of nothing. It is the it's the American dream. He's been very generous with his money. He's helped lots of Democrats. He's helped a lot of 501c3s. A lot of public entities have gotten his largesse. So I think they walked down a pretty treacherous path.
The only person it works for is Bernie, because Bernie, the Bernie bros and his supporters, would never like Bloomberg anyway. Yeah. So the only person who actually, I think, in a favorable way.
Well,
I don't even count her anymore, honestly. Yeah. Like,
my prediction is that she's going to go hard, though. I think she's going to probably go harder than Bernie, and I think, as much as you're right, Doug, I think it's important. Look, I love the story of people coming here with nothing and building something, but for Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, that's not their message, and they don't care how you got the money. They just don't want you to have it.
Somebody needs to point out, hopefully Bloomberg, that, and maybe some of the other capitalists who are there, without guys like Bloomberg, hello, look at all the jobs he's created, tens of thousands of them, single-handedly, because he's single-handedly responsible for developing the tool that now has made him a billionaire.
And I know a billionaire is a lot different than a millionaire, but when you're someone like me, I mean, who's pointing out that Bernie is a millionaire? Like,
right.
I don't know. It's
so is Elizabeth Warren's husband.
It's kind of frustrating to me, because, like, do they really relate that much to the normal person who isn't making that much money and is, you know, living month to month because they're millionaires and they don't have to deal with that at all?
And how do they get to be
a millionaire? It's going to be interesting tonight. I think you're right, Victor. I think there's going to be a lot of viewership. I'm definitely planning on watching because...
Yeah, I probably will.
You'll pop some popcorn for this, right?
No kidding, because I actually think maybe this one might be the one where they kind of, like, turn on each other a little bit and try to start separating their own pathway. And when you look at the amount of Oppo research...
Excuse me, just a second. What you just said is a brilliant phrase, and what it does is show the public that they really don't care about the public serving the public. They care about themselves and their future. That's what that kind of wrangling is all about. Anyway, not that that's news.
But I also think Biden's going to really try to make a play tonight, too, against Bloomberg.
They all have to, because we're already in this now. I mean, this is not, you know, we're not messing around. It's not October. This is already a couple of elections where things didn't go necessarily as planned for Biden, and they didn't go as planned. Mayor Pete is now seeing his numbers start to go down with Mayor Bloomberg's numbers starting to go up. So they actually all have to create...
Yesterday challenged Rush Limbaugh to a debate.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting. I mean, well, Limbaugh started it with his comments and weren't particularly appropriate, I think.
It'd be fun. I'd watch that. Right. I'd pop some popcorn for that one, too.
Yeah,
but
the
point here is that there's been a lot of Oppo research that's been dumped onto Mike Bloomberg's plate this week. He's going to have a lot to answer for. I know that you and I have argued about whether or not context is appropriate. I've listened to a lot of the stuff. There's a lot of questionable stuff from a year ago where he was talking about transgender people as some guy in a dress. There are a lot of things that are going to be thrown at Bloomberg. Well, look, maybe not. I mean, that farmer thing, I listened to it again and again. I think he panders to a crowd. That's why I personally don't like Mayor Bloomberg. I think he does what is politically advantageous to himself, including switching political parties. But I think not to the extent that,
like,
that Bloomberg
Trump
does.
Wrote that book, then we're going to have
They've
a left and right version of the same person then.
In any case, that's just my opinion about why I don't like him. I understand why you guys do. But I think what's going to be more interesting is to see how he handles himself for the first time publicly, because no one's really seen him speak. We've seen his commercials. We haven't seen him actually, you know, communicate with some of these other candidates. And I think there are a lot of people who are interested
to
see how he does.
He's provocative. He'll be just fine. You wait and see. All right, so that's tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, so that spread it back around 5 o'clock on the West Coast.
I'm just glad it's starting at 8 p.m. because the last few have started at 9, and they go for 3 hours or 2 hours. It's too much.
Popcorn. Okay, today is Iwo Jima Day, the 19th of February, marking the anniversary. This date, 1945, Battle of Iwo Jima began. Invasion of two Iwo Jima islands off the coast of Japan by the United States. Day is officially observed in Massachusetts. It's a day off, if you will. Well, it's school vacation week, so it's not that big a deal. Unofficially, it's celebrated or marked, at least, around the rest of the country. Some of the bloodiest fighting of the war, at least in the Pacific, took place on Iwo Jima. Battle of Iwo Jima lasted for 5 weeks. U.S. captured the island at the end of all of that. It was believed from the start that the U.S. would win. It was thought the battle would last days, maybe a week, but not five. The U.S. decided to wage a battle at Iwo Jima because they thought that it was, if it was captured, could be used as a staging area to invade mainland China, only 750 miles away from mainland China, and that worked because the U.S. began dropping bombs on the island from Navy vessels in June of 1944. So it took them 7 months to sort of loosen things up there a little bit. And then on February 23rd, the Marines captured Mount Suribachi, which is the mountain on the south side of the island from which the photos were taken. The photographer is Lewis Lowry. They didn't get published till after the war, these pictures. Six Marines are in it, raising the second flag, and AP photographer was there, took a picture of these men. It's known as Raising the Flag on Iwo Jima, the photo. Won the Pulitzer Prize for photography in 1945. Very important day. It showed what the Japanese were really all about, with that and the Battle of Bataan, how unbelievably, unbelievably vicious the Japanese were and what they did to their prisoners that they got. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we talked about the Japanese incarceration and the whole here of getting reparations in California. I guarantee you that there isn't one person who says that who knows what the experience was, what the GIs went through in Bataan and Iwo Jima, because that's where that's where it's not now, it's then. But that's where all of that, the people who are angry about that, the people who come up with the idea don't know anything about Iwo Jima or the Japanese march to Bataan, all that stuff. So, okay, this looks good to them. Next up here, it seems to me we ought to talk about Ryan Newman a little bit, some sports news. He apparently is awake and speaking with family. So yesterday we talked a lot about this. It was a big deal, the crash at the finish line of the Daytona 500 on Monday, because Sunday got rained out, right? It was washed, really got washed away.
Yeah, it was rain checked on Monday.
He is so lucky, this guy. I don't know how much, if you watched that crash, but it was.
Yeah. He's awake, speaking with his family and doctors, apparently. The doctor said he and his family have expressed their appreciation for the concern and heartfelt messages from across the country. They're grateful for the unwavering support of the NASCAR community and beyond. So, good for him. Congratulations. The driver who was involved in that with him was Denny Hamlin. Team owner Joe Gibbs apologized for celebrating the win in the wake of his crash. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. But they didn't really know, I don't think, at that time. Did they know the extent? Or should they have known?
No,
the
I don't think. No. I think the one driver
shook up.
Yeah, the driver who bumped him, I think, was trying to do it on purpose to give him a little bit of an edge, so the same team would win.
He's trying to get the car to win.
But
Okay. All right. The last person you'd think would file a suit against the Houston Astros, somebody that turned on the Astros yesterday. A season ticket holder, an Astros season ticket holder, is suing the team for, quote, putting a deficient product on the field. That's in today's LA Times.
Oh, I love America.
The lawsuit filed by a ticket holder named Adam Wallach claims the Astros.
AKA Jennifer Horn.
Believe me, we talked about it at the station that I work at in LA. We talked about doing a class action suit, but obviously this person did, and good for him.
The Astros deceptively overcharged fans while the team was engaging in sign stealing. So this
That's
scandal.
Gonna be really hard for that person to not
prove?
Win.
Oh, no. Not to not win. Oh, yeah.
To lose.
Because
I think that's...
Think about it. Yeah. I mean, this team has been in the playoff hunt or in the World Series for the last 4 years. And how did they get there? They got there by cheating. And then they started making the ticket prices go up. Because what happens when you're rooting for a good team is everything gets more expensive.
Yep.
So, come on.
It's fraud. It's
the
what
owner
it is,
of the team should be stripped of the team. That's just it, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. The fact that Major League Baseball has all but just turned a blind eye to this is ridiculous.
And these guys are so
Justin Turner, who plays on the Dodgers, after Cody Bellinger, because remember the players were told not to speak. The Dodgers were told by Major League Baseball, do not comment on this. Even though 2 years in a row, from the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox, they were cheated probably out of two World Series titles. And so Bellinger finally came out and said something pretty, you know, saying this is not how we play the game, and you know, went after the players in Houston. Justin Turner yesterday commented on what the Major League Baseball commissioner said, that he didn't understand why Dodgers and why people were so upset about this, because the World Series trophy is just a hunk of metal.
So there, Justin
Turner,
how to win friends and influence people.
He went bananas, and he said that just shows how out of touch he is with the players. He said this is what we play all of our lives for. He said the only thing wrong with that World Series trophy is that it has the commissioner's name on it.
So are you going?
Good
is
quote.
It Friday during the? Are you here Friday? Or are you? When are you going over?
I'm gone this weekend. Yeah, so I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We come back
Friday
Monday.
After you're on the air, or Friday before? When are you going over?
After I get on the air. Yeah.
Okay. So there's already, by the way, those of you who aren't keeping track of this, the Astros have been sued by former pitcher Mike Bolsinger, who claims the team's sign-stealing scandal is the reason he's no longer in the league. There are a bunch of law firms. You've got to figure this would happen. Law firms seeking fans. There are big ads in the Houston Chronicle this weekend for seeking fans who want compensation from the team. So this is, and plus the fact, you realize what's going to happen when these teams are playing the Astros, every single city that they go to, especially New York. You thought the New York Yankees booed when the Red Sox showed up. Wait till you see. Matter of fact, I heard yesterday, who was talking about this? Tim Conway, I think, was talking about it last night, how they're already hiring extra security, planning for extra security needs.
These guys are toast, and I'm not wishing it on them, but they're doing the boo birds, which are going to – the Yankees are ticked about the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and even – I mean, all the West Coast teams are upset about the Houston Astros. Most of baseball is, and they know that this is the where it originated, because Alex Cora got the idea to take it to Boston from his time in Houston, so that's why it's like ground zero. And so they're going to follow this team around and boo, and Major League Baseball said there'll be advanced fines if people start to bean players on the Houston Astros, but you know that it's first gonna game is going to, there's going to be
boo.
Pressure to knock the first three batters out of the way. And
so there still are a lot of, I saw a couple of online polls, should the Astros be stripped of the World Series title from 2017 even. Wow, this is becoming right. And they're all now showing up this weekend. The players show up. The pitchers, catchers were there last weekend. So spring season, the spring training starts
it opens
this weekend in full.
Saturday is opening day for
going.
spring training.
Student athletes under the focus, the NCAA considering a waiver expansion, which would allow all Division I student athletes to compete immediately after their first transfer. So usually under the circumstances, if I understand this correctly, when a baseball, football, hockey player, women's basketball student-athlete transfers from one school to another, they have to sit out a season. But those who are the only, that's with D1 sports, is it not that way in D2 or D3 now? Who knows? I'm familiar with D3 and what those level. But apparently, according to the data, more than a third of college athletes transfer at least once. And the system, according to many, is unsustainable. It's believed the transfer rules ought to be more in line with today's college landscape. That is, so many people going back and forth. We agree with this or not? New concept allows for immediate eligibility if the student meets four requirements. They need to get a transfer release from the old school. They need to meet all the old school's academic requirements for a competition. They would need continuing academic progress or show it in the new school. And they couldn't leave under disciplinary suspension. So, what do we think of this idea? Good, bad, indifferent?
Yeah, I think I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all.
No. All right, Jinja, what's the big TV show tonight?
Series finale of Criminal Minds, a debate, and the documentary premiere on CMT of Bluebird about the cafe.
10 before the hour here on the DJV show.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
After the hour, Tech Talk time here on the DJV program. Victoria Keelan, Doug Steffen with a service, Satcher Service and On Your Side stuff. Technology update with the focus. By the way, I went into, remind me to ask to tell you this, I went into the Apple store last night. It was very, I went to the Genius Bar. So, I haven't been to the Genius Bar for a couple of years, and it's always interesting to meet those young geniuses. Meanwhile, back at the ranch here, Nintendo is going to open lounges at airports. Ah, this would be good. What do you think?
Well, airports are pretty boring as it is, so why not be able to play some games while you're waiting for your flight? And that's exactly what Nintendo is going to be doing. They're opening up Nintendo Switch on-the-go pop-up lounges.
I got a phrase. You ready, Victoria? It's the Nintendo of Nintendo. Their intention, Nintendo, is to put Nintendo into the airports.
I'm sure they're taking notes right now. They're writing that down. So they have a bunch of pop-ups that are happening at U.S. airports this month. Currently, if you are flying in or out of Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C., there's a Nintendo lounge there. Tacoma International Airport in Seattle, O'Hare International in Chicago, and Dallas Love Field. They all have these lounges that are open. Now, here's the thing. They will only stay open until late March. This is a pop-up, so it's not a permanent thing. But if they become really popular, I can't imagine that they wouldn't find a permanent spot in these airports. So they're going to offer charging ports for your phone, which is always important, playable Switch demos in both handheld and TV mode. This is a great way to keep kids and adults occupied while waiting in the airport. Some of Nintendo's most popular games will be available. The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8,
which is that's super popular, and then Super Mario Odyssey. So you can stop by the pop-ups. You'll be treated to a free Switch-branded luggage handle wrap, a $10 coupon to use at Target on a Nintendo purchase of $75 or more, and they'll probably have all kinds of other little giveaways. So visitors will also be able to place orders for Switch, Switch Lite, and a selection of games and merchandise, so you can actually buy the things that you're playing, which is smart. And apparently, in December, Nintendo is really on the rise again. It's, of course, it was huge in the 80s, took a dip, and then kind of went away, and now it's back. So the Switch installed base had 48 million units sold in December. So that's up 16% from the year before, which is really great news. It's part of the reason why Nintendo really wants to keep this momentum going, and being in airports is a great way to increase your exposure. They have their own store in Tokyo. They're partnering with Universal Parks and Resorts, and Super Nintendo World is currently under construction, so Nintendo is kind of coming back in a really big way.
There you go. Big-time stuff. Here's some more big-time stuff. Samsung's new Galaxy S20 Ultra has an ultra-long battery life, so if you're interested, here we go with the scoop.
The Geek Out. Last week, Samsung's Unpacked event went down as expected with the announcement of both the new Galaxy S20 and the new Galaxy Z Flip smartphones. The S20 arrives in three versions, with the Ultra being the most feature-filled, offering a massive 108-megapixel camera capable of something called 100 times space zoom, and probably the category's biggest battery, which would suggest market-leading battery life, but with the inclusion of 5G, it's not clear if the giant battery is giant because 5G is powerful, hungry, or it will actually end up providing new levels of battery life. The S20 also comes in a base and plus model with different screen sizes, and they start at $1,000.
Attention! Dell's President's Day sale starts now with monumental savings on Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Don't miss up to $400 off our limited quantity doorbusters on the 17th, all with free shipping. Visit Dell.com/President's Day or call 800-BUY-DELL.
Next up here on our DJV Tech Talk report is a focus on the Ring doorbell camera. What's new there, Victoria?
Well, what's new is that because they've had so many security issues, it is now mandatory if you own a Ring doorbell security system that you must use the two-factor authentication. This was recommended in the past, but now this is going to be a requirement. And you have to log into your Ring account, do the update, do the two-factor authentication, and you'll be all set. So this is Ring is owned by Amazon. They had some real serious security concerns. Hackers gained access to so many different Ring security cameras in recent months. They're very easy to hack into. People who are buying the Ring cameras off of eBay, the people who previously owned those cameras were still able to log into their accounts and basically look into someone else's house who now own the cameras. It's been kind of a disaster. So if you do own the Ring, make sure that you go into the app's control center, do the two-factor authentication for extra safety.
All right, there's the story. More things to think about here. Thank you, Victoria. Good work. Good research as usual. Doug Steffen here on the DJV program at 59 after the...
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.